Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10. Chapter entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. Shaunaka uvacha. Advasarita svira atatayino. Follow religious principles. Varista, greatest. Sahanjay, with his younger brothers. Patya Varudha, restricted. Bhojana, acceptance of necessities. Hatham, how. Pravita, engaged. Kim, what? Akarasit, executed. Tataha, thereafter. Translation. Shaunaka Muni asked, after killing his enemies who desired to usurp his rightful inheritance, how did the greatest of all religious men, Maharaj Yudhisthira, assisted by his brothers, rule his subjects? Surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with unrestricted consciousness. Prabhupada, Rashida Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the greatest of all men of religion. Thus he was not at all inclined to fight with his cousins for the sake of enjoying the kingdom. He fought for the right cause because the kingdom of Hastinapur was his rightful inheritance, and his cousins wanted to usurp it for themselves. He fought, therefore, for the right cause under the guidance of Lord Sri Krishna. But he could not enjoy the results of his victory because his cousins were all killed in the fight. He therefore ruled over the kingdom as a matter of duty, assisted by his younger brothers. The inquiry was important for Shaunaka Rishi, who wanted to know the behavior of Maharaj Yudhisthira when he was at ease to enjoy the kingdom. Om Adhyana Tsinirandasya, Yana Hrvashala, Adhyana Chakshu, Unmin Tanyana, Tasmai, Shri Bhuvayana, Shri Chaitanya, Minobisam, Sadhu Tanyana, Vantala, Swayam, Rupa, Adhyana, Vyadisham, Vyadikam, Murkam, Karoti, Vachalam, Pangam, Mangal, Tegirin, Yadkupa, Adhyana, Shri Guru, Nidhita, Adhyana, Pancha Kalpatrivischa, Kripa Sindhivya Evacha, Paditanam Pavnivya Vaishnavya Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Kirata, Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we just finished the chapter, the passing away of Bhishma Dev. So as we've been hearing the previous weeks, the great relevance of this section, just as we have different sections in the Bhagavatam, the Gopi Gita, Uddhava Gita, the Song of Pingala, teachings by Queen Kunti, Prahlad Maharaj, etc. This previous chapter as well, chapter 10, the first canto, it is very important because there we hear and we see not only the stories of the Lord's pure devotees, the Pandavas, but also the qualities of Krishna as Bhaktivatsala coming out in this Leela. And in the next devotion we can read about these qualities in the 19th chapter, one of them which explains how Krishna is expert in dealing with his devotees. So this expertise was seen specifically in this Leela with Bhishma and Yudhisthira, how Krishna was fulfilling the heart of both his pure devotees simultaneously. Therefore, Krishna serving his devotee serving Krishna, acting in a way to please the transcendental senses of the Lord. So it has been very important that we actually try to absorb this entire Leela and not just read it as a wonderful thing. Yes, Krishna was the Partha Sarathi, he was the charity of Arjuna, and yes, Krishna, as we know in the beautiful picture, holding a chariot wheel, rushing towards Bhishma to kill him. But actually we should understand the deeper meaning of that pastime, how Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas. Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He's the embodiment of all primary and secondary rasas. So in this chapter 10, Krishna is going to start an attempt to leave for Dwarka. And here, Shaunaka Rishi, who was present when Bhagavatam was spoken among Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj Parikshit, he wanted to know more about the mood of Maharaj Yudhisthira after being instructed by Bhishmadev. So it is very important to know the caliber of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Of course, you know he was first of all a devotee of Krishna. He is an eternal associate of Krishna. Wherever Krishna is appearing in whatever Leela, the Pandavas, these five brothers, are appearing with him. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is a very great personality. Therefore, his character is studied by different sages, by different devotees. We also should study this character of Yudhisthira. And why we study the character of the pure devotees? Because they are the representation of the of how to perfectly discharge pure devotional service. Just as we have Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, we see how Prabhupada put everything into practical application. So when we study their life, it is with a mood to follow in the footsteps. As we know, one thing Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction stressed that we are following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So following means we try to imbibe their mood in serving Krishna, in service to Krishna. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, pure devotee of Krishna, was very dutiful in his relationship with Krishna. Although he did not want to enjoy this kingdom, so to speak. He did not want the benefits because he blamed himself for the death of all these different soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Although he was fighting for the right cause and the Lord himself was on his side. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was very remorseful as to the death of millions and millions of soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But nonetheless, having been assured by Bhishma that he was actually fighting for the right cause, he should not lament. He becomes pacified. So this dutiful behavior by him acts as an impetus for us to see how actually devotional service is primarily for the pleasure of Krishna. That we're acting for the pleasure of Rishikesh, Krishna, who is the controller of the senses. This body that we have actually belongs to Krishna. It's been given by the material energy. So we're acting in a way as to please the fountainhead, our life and soul, Krishna. So even great demons would understand that the life and soul of a devotee is service to Krishna. And without that connection, then the devotee, in so many ways, has lost their life. So we see when Prahlad Maharaj was when Hiranyakashipu was pacifying his family members after the death of his brother Hiranyaksha, he was explaining to them his plan to conquer Vishnu. But before that, he also explained his plan of how he wanted to conquer the demigods because they were so attached to serving Krishna. They were Krishna's administrative members in dealing with the affairs of the universe. So Hiranyakashipu, speaking to his mother, his sister-in-law, and his nephews, other relatives, was explaining how to actually get rid of the strength, the life of the demigods. He has to go to the root. And he gave this analogy how if I chop off the root of a tree, everything else becomes lifeless. He understood that for a devotee, their life and soul is solely based on serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So his plan was to annihilate the Vishnu, and in that way the demigods would have no reason for existence. So Prabhupada oftentimes explains that in this world there's two classifications of persons. You have the demons and you have the devatas. So you're either in conjunction with Krishna or you're not. There's no in between. You're either serving Krishna or you are against Krishna. So that is a firm statement that we should all keep within our hearts, that no matter how much the material energy may taint certain personalities or may taint the so-called happiness of this world, actually to live within the injunctions of the Vedic literatures, what Krishna is giving means that we are following on the right path. But anything away from that means we have a demonic mentality. Not necessarily that we have horns poking through our forehead or our head, but that we do not accept the supremacy of Krishna. We don't accept that Krishna is the Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam, that all austerities and sacrifices are meant for him. So we plainly serve Krishna, and in that way we're showing Krishna that we want to become subservient towards him, unlike the demons. So this nature of actually understanding the real position of Krishna is seen in the example of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So although Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that he had killed, you know, there's different numbers, 64 crores of men on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishma did explain to him that this was Dharma Yudha. Right, this was based on religious principles. So there's no difference between what we hear from Krishna and what we read. It is all on the absolute platform. So similarly, when Krishna asked Maharaj Yudhishthira to tell a lie, that was dharmic. That was coming from Krishna directly. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked to go to Dronacharya to say that Ashwatthama had died. And because everyone knew that Yudhishthira Maharaj is never tells a lie, he is Dharma personified. It was very difficult for him. Srila Prabhupada comments that he had to do it because that was an instruction from Krishna. That was Dharma. That wasn't a mental concoction. That was coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, so he had to do it. And Prabhupada mentioned that our Dharma are those things that are mentally concocted. Or we think, and this is quoting Srila Prabhupada, it is not my speculation. Prabhupada mentioned when he gave a lecture on this verse, he speaks about our Dharma. He says we think, oh, this is Christian Dharma, this is Muslim Dharma. We think we have to worship like this, like that. But actually, no, real Dharma is Sava Dhamam Pritya Dharma Mikam Sharanam Vraja. So Prabhupada makes that firm statement that that is Dharma, following the instructions of Krishna according to time, place and circumstance, that is Dharma. So in that example, Yudhishthira Maharaj followed the instruction of Krishna not to please himself. He was actually not very happy to tell that lie, but it was for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is the quality of a devotee, that he's actually acting on behalf of Krishna. He's acting for the pleasure of Krishna. It is not for himself. And the secret of success in Krishna consciousness is this fact that as we act purely for Krishna's pleasure, simultaneously we also get satisfied. Now this goes against modern civilization. Out there we were taught to actually put yourself first and do things for yourself. You're the doer, you're the achiever. And if you roll into university, I remember when I was in university in 2005, and you know, you were told you can achieve anything you want. You are in the best university in Africa, blah, 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 yada, yada. Right? So, creating this consciousness of I'm in control, I'm the doer, there's no one else out there who can come in my way. Therefore, we try to achieve anything in this material existence by any means necessary. That is why people have a hard time accepting authority, because they want themselves to be their own authority. Whereas we understand that real leadership means that we're following the authority of a higher power, a power that has no cheating propensity, no illusion, no imperfect senses. So that type of leadership is what we follow, and the only person who can construct moral codes, religious principles, one who is not weighed by the three modes of original nature, it is the absolute person. Everything else falls short. So we understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is there in the beginning, and before creation and after creation, he is there. So all these rules and guidelines and regulations that have been given for the benefit of a devotee, these are instructions on Dharma by Krishna. And we see some of these instructions given by the 12 Mahajans, Bhishma included, Prahlad Maharaj included, Bali Janak Maharaj. So many different, the primary Mahajans of course given by Srila Prabhupada. And their character and their qualities should be studied, and we should try to apply those instructions that they are given. It's not that we only get instructions from Krishna directly. Indirectly we get through Krishna's sources, because they keep everything intact. That is parampara. Parampara means there is no change. As it is, it comes down. And this is why Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he gives that chain of disciplic succession. They say this is how it was passed down. And Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Dhamman Pru Sasha Bhagavad Pranitam. Dharma is that which is manufactured by Krishna. No living entity conditioned by the modes of material nature can manufacture Dharma. So you might see on the internet these days, everything is at the click of a button. We can see and hear from different incarnations of Krishna around the world. People who are self-proclaimed avatars, who have no line of disciplic succession, who have no basis of scripture, and who are mentally speculating how to become self-realized. So for a devotee, it's very important to know these religious principles. It is very important to know the codes of conduct of those who are on the path of perfection. Otherwise, there's so much cheating going on out there in the name of religion, in the name of dharma. So in our sampradaya, of course, Lord Chaitanya is also giving the same instruction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was given, that dharma means to serve the instructions of Krishna by the mercy of the spiritual master. And if we follow a bona fide process, if we have a parampara that we're following, then by the sincere efforts and by the grace of Guru and Krishna, we may attain that perfection. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was doing the same thing. He was following the instructions of Krishna, ultimately, following the instructions given by Grandfather Bhishma. Now the problem that we face when we're trying to preach, of course, is that people are hearing from the wrong sources. So we want people to come and hear from us. They're used to hearing from all sorts of speculative groups and societies, and therefore they are not hearing from the right sources, even if it's hearing so-called Bhagavad Gita. There's so many different versions of Bhagavad Gita. But Srila Prabhupada stresses, the Acharya stresses very much that this knowledge should be heard from the right sources. So those who are speaking Bhagavad Gita will have more of an impact, and it will change the heart if it is coming from someone who actually knows Krishna. That's why it's important for everyone to take shelter of a guru coming into civic succession, because as Prabhupada mentions in the verse Tadvini Pranipatena Pariprashnina Sevaya, Prabhupada mentions that because they understand who Krishna is, they have seen Krishna by assimilation, by Shravanam and Kirtanam. They have understood who Krishna is, therefore they can actually give Krishna. Someone who does not understand Krishna cannot give Krishna. They can give their own mental ideas as to who Krishna is. Therefore you have different documentaries made, Krishna, history or myth. They're still toying with the idea. They're thinking, yeah, maybe, maybe not, he was there, he wasn't there, there's proof, oh, it's not scientific, etc., etc. So there is no faith. It is just mental knowledge. That is why by jnana, you cannot access Krishna. It has to be infused with bhakti. And that is why we're not only trying to read and understand, but we're also trying to put it into application. So jnana, vijnana is required, and that will increase our faith and our knowledge of Krishna. Now that becomes much stronger when we actually perform devotional service. What we're reading becomes even more realized as we serve Krishna practically. So there's some lectures, Radhanath Swami is speaking about how if you keep Krishna to yourself, you won't get much of him. But if you give Krishna, Krishna will give himself to you. Just as if you have a talent in devotional service, the more you teach others, the more benefit you yourself get. Not that you just keep that knowledge in for yourself, there's a tendency to become very miserly. And very, in the name of I'm greedy for Krishna, we become very miserly. We become selfish instead of selfless. So the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. That is the science. That's why this Sankirtan movement is all about giving Krishna. Not that our main focus is, oh, because I'm going to give Krishna, I'm going to get Krishna more. But no, the highest principle is that you have some chintamani, you have some real wealth, just like the Panchatattva. They had the real wealth. They planted it, they certainly energized themselves, and after that, they had no choice but to give it out. Because the jiva is actually its part and part, it's a fragmental part of Krishna, Mamaishamsa Jiva Loka, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That we're actually different parts of Krishna. So we have the same, we have qualities of Krishna but in minute quantities. Which means Krishna is supremely independent, we have that independence. Krishna is compassionate, we have a compassionate nature. Krishna is Satchit Ananda, we also are Satchit Ananda. Krishna is truthful, we have these qualities of Krishna but in minute quantities. But when one becomes, in exhibition it's explained, we're studying with Anuradha Prabhu, when one becomes a pure devotee, this is very interesting, one will be able to exhibit these qualities to the best of their ability, when one becomes pure. So although we have these minute quantities, right now they're very covered over. We can see the natures within us. Yes, we like to be caring, compassionate, etc. But once we become pure, they become even more enlightened. They become even more obvious. So by the preaching effect, by allowing ourselves to become instruments of Krishna, like Bhishma Dev, like Yudhisthira, the Pandavas, by putting ourselves in front of Krishna and very humbly asking Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service, then that is our ultimate satisfaction. By becoming selfless, actually we can attain Krishna. Not by striving to individually make our own plans and efforts to get Krishna. But we understand Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has given us this prayer in the morning, Yasya Prasada Bhagavan Prasada. Yasya Prasada Nanati Kutopi. That it is actually not just by our own efforts. It is never by our own efforts. We have our endeavors, we sincerely endeavor, but also the rest, it is up to Krishna. And Krishna is stressing that we get the mercy and the blessings of his pure devotees. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, what has he in his prayers, he is thinking of Prahlad Maharaj. He is thinking of the gopis of Vrindavan. He is trying to get their blessings and their mercy so that he can attain perfection. Although he's a liberated soul, but he's showing that actually, no matter what stage you are in your devotional service, whether you're a sadhana bhakta, whether you're on the spontaneous platform, you're still subservient to someone, you are still hankering for mercy and blessings. So even from the lowest to the highest platform, we are very much encouraged to seek the blessings of the very, very advanced souls. And Bhishma Dev was doing that. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, there's this conversation where Yudhisthira Maharaj wants to understand how it's possible that Shishupal merged into the body of Krishna. And you got, how is it possible that a demon seemingly gets one of the highest benefits by going to the spiritual planet? And Narada Muni starts explaining that actually who this demon was in their previous lives. They were cursed to come down as a transcendental lila of Krishna to give pleasure to Krishna. So Narada Muni starts explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj then the custom of Prahlad Maharaj. So he starts giving the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, how he had so much remembrance of Krishna, he attained perfection by remembering Krishna all the time. So glorifying the devotee in that way, Yudhisthira Maharaj started appreciating the saintly qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, seeing himself as very insignificant in comparison. And of course, Narada Muni, he pacifies Yudhisthira Maharaj by telling him in this loka, in this on this planet, the most fortunate personalities were the Pandavas, because Krishna was constantly with them all the time. So there was no need or reason for him to lament, because they also got so much from Krishna's association. So we should understand that whatever service that we are performing for Krishna is on the actual platform. So Prahlad Maharaj was serving Krishna in a specific way. Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, the gopis of Vrindavan, they all had their different rashas with Krishna, and they attained their perfection by meditating on that or by acting accordingly. So when we're performing devotional service, the service that we get given, if we have this mood that if I'm worshipping the deity by offering aarti, or I'm offering puja to Srila Prabhupada, or I'm making garlands or cooking for Krishna, it is all on the absolute platform in Krishna's eyes. In our eyes, because we are conditioned, we make distinction. You know, we're always hankering, we're always lamenting. If we're afflicted by the modes, there's hankering and lamentation all the time. But if we train our consciousness to see that this is the service I'm doing now, cleaning the bathroom, cleaning the kitchen, worshipping the deity, Krishna sees it as absolute. Krishna does not make distinction. It is only our contaminated consciousness that makes a distinction. That actually, if we're doing book distribution and if we're doing prasadam distribution, it's not that Krishna dumps the prasadam waters and just focuses on the sankirtan devotees. Krishna sees the service, not the specific service. He sees the service attitude. And that is what captures Krishna, the service attitude. Whether you are that Brahmana who is reading Bhagavad Gita but you are illiterate, the heart of that Brahmana had that desire to follow instructions of Guru and Krishna by reading. So Lord Chaitanya was pleased with that Brahmana. Lord Chaitanya was pleased with his devotee Rakeshra Pandit, who danced so beautifully. Lord Chaitanya was pleased with that housemaid who was carrying Ganges water to come and bathe him. So whatever service that we're actually doing, Krishna is pleased. Krishna never says anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita that if you only perform deity worship, you're coming back home back to Godhead. Or if you're only distributing books or cooking the 640 offering, you are coming back to Godhead. Because that is the most glorious service. Of course, Prabhupada, in so many letters, if you read letters of Srila Prabhupada, once we had a strategic planning retreat, and Prabhulas was reading different quotes by Prabhupada. Prabhupada saying, our bookkeeping, that is the most important service. Over and over, in so many different letters. And then next, if we're speaking about prasadam distribution, Prabhupada again, prasadam distribution is the most important service. And then Prabhupada would go to deity worship, it is the most important service. Then he would go to cleaning the temple, it is the most important service. So, in Krishna's eyes, every single thing that we do, that is the most important service. If you're singing, if you're dancing for Krishna, remember the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Ashanam, Vanam, Dasyam, Atman, Vedanam. So any of those, or all of them, Prabhupada is very merciful that we have the opportunity to perform all of these nine processes in one day. So any of them can actually give one perfection. And of course, Shravanam and Kirtanam is stressed very much because they exist in all the other angles of bhakti. They cannot be service to the devotee without hearing about Krishna. Machit Matkarprana Bodhyantas Parasparam Katyantas Chamanityam Sashanticha Ramanticha. That when devotees are together, what are they doing? They are hearing about Krishna. They are enlightening one another about Krishna. When devotees are honoring Sarat Sarida Abhijaja, they are reminding themselves, this body belongs to Krishna. I'm nourishing myself with Krishna Prasadam. So there is always Krishna Katha. So whatever service we are performing, actually, it is all very important. How can we glorify the deities without performing this book distribution? How can we perform the book distribution without glorifying Krishna? The books are glorifying Krishna. We come in the morning, we hear the scores, the deities are pleased. We hear the crossway scores, the deities are pleased. We do a Maha Gundicha cleaning of the temple. It is beautiful, it is clean. Cleanliness is godliness. Or distribution of prasadam. Now, I was speaking with a friend the other day, and we were speaking about this point that, you know, prasadam, if we understand, and this devotee, a very dear devotee, was explaining to me how when they were studying their Krishna consciousness, they did so many types of different services. From the time you wake up till 10 o'clock, every single day, for years and years. And some things I can't even fathom I could do. And we started speaking about the nature of Kali Yuga and the qualities of Kali Yuga and how much they have an effect on the body. So in their generation, they could do so much. In the generation before them, they could even do double. So in Kali Yuga, we should understand that the qualities are slowly diminishing. Slowly diminishing. And I often think to myself, I criticize myself, and I sometimes think, why can't this devotee do this, and I can do it in half an hour, why can't they do it in half an hour? And we should understand that, you know, Rajagun and Tamagun have destroyed our body, our gross and subtle body. This is the effect of Kali Yuga. Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Bhagahiyo Padutaha. That everything just becomes diminished. People cannot sit down and listen to you're not the body. Actually, I've seen it urban yoga. It's a very simple presentation. The body is changing. You're different from the body. You know, the color of your hair has changed. One, you know, simple philosophy. I remember I asked one girl, very educated, from the slaughterhouse of Harvard University. As Prabhupada says, you know, mature education, this is just slaughterhouses because they're not taught about the science of the soul. And she came to me, she said, you know, it was really nice, but I couldn't understand it. It was so philosophical. Like, my everything, capacity has shrunk. Everything has just shrunk. And there's a famous line, Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say, prasada will enter where philosophy cannot. People cannot grasp with their subtle body, which is so damaged. But if we give them so much prasadam, they get purified. Prasadam is Krishna. So prasadam, I was thinking very deeply, prasadam distribution, it is a very important service, because in Kali Yuga we can already see people's mentality is got, people's minds are so weak, people's bodies are extremely weak. They cannot handle so much philosophy. You know, if you go deep into the philosophy, it just goes in one ear out through the other. So plunder them with prasadam. Plunder them with Krishna prasadam. And they get purified. So even prasadam distribution, although we might think, oh, it's just prasadam, you know, highball, full fare concession, thank you. Next, please, are your students, concession card, thank you, full fare prasadam. Hare Krishna, move it, thank you very much. We might just think, oh, I wish another day at Crawley's or Gopal's. Would you want to finish pie? Would you like tahini or, you know, French dressing? Next, please, thank you. Would you like a lassi? If I say lassi one more time, I'll turn into a lassi. So sometimes we might think this is just such a daunting thing. Yes, there's no peanuts, it is vegan, thank you. We might think like this. But actually we should understand that, you know, prasadam distribution, it is very important. It has helped so many people. Maybe even us, we should just come for prasadam. For myself in university, I don't know if Radha Sangha ever knew, but I just used to come on a Sunday, my meditation was the prasadam. In university, you're always thinking, what can I get for free? Well, you don't want to spend. You want to spend it on other things. So prasadam has come, it comes a very long way. It purifies the conditioned souls. So if we understand that when we're doing prasadam distribution, we are cultivating this piety to again take up devotional service. So when we're distributing prasadam, we tell people, oh, this is very special, this is spiritual food. They have to know the potency as well. Prabhupada specified in the morning walk that they have to know the importance of prasadam. Then they'll get even more benefit. Then they'll get a human body. If they don't know the potency of prasadam, it doesn't necessarily mean they'll get a human body. It means they'll get an opportunity to have prasadam again, maybe as a fly or as a lizard, whatever, or as a dog. So prasadam distribution is there, and at the same time chanting of Hare Krishna is there. So these things, shravanam, kirtanam, happen simultaneously in any service that we're performing. So our lesson from these sections of Bhagavatam should be to understand that, you know, our duty in Krishna consciousness is to try and give Krishna in varieties of different ways. It is not only through book distribution or worshipping the deity, etc. We should try and dutifully act for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is how we'll develop real love to other living entities as well, by understanding the great wealth of Krishna. So in that way, we'll start hearing more and more about how Yudhisthira Maharaj very dutifully carried out the administrative duties, taking care of his praja, his citizens, and educating them in Krishna consciousness by his own personal example. So thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Corrections? Kind of problem? Try to add anything?
Very nice class. I'd really like to hear something more about your understanding of realizing philosophy, realization. You said that it's not just by reading the books, but by practicing Krishna consciousness. We get an understanding of Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness. And I see in this temple, particularly out of many temples that I visit, that the devotees have a pretty strong service and connected with Krishna and connected with different services. And it seems like that is an important factor of the success of the temple.
My understanding from reading Prabhupada's books is that you get the foundation in terms of you get the backing or the support of what you're doing, and for that to be able to stay every single day, you know, week after week, month after month. If I'm reading about this wonderful person, Krishna, and about how he can help my mental, emotional, physiological nature, if I do something for him, I'll understand more about his qualities. So every day when I do my service, you know, from an external point of view, of course, you know, sitting down and answering phones, it doesn't look so spiritual. You know, it looks like, you know, anyone out there, there's so many receptionists out there, there's so many people teaching yoga and meditation. But when you actually have that knowledge and you are put in a working situation, internally you're thinking, for example, when I'm teaching yoga, I get to see all these people coming in and they have no clue of what their body is or how their body is acting. Like, they don't know what muscles they have. If I tell them to twist to the left, they don't even know what left is. Sometimes, you know, it's the whole thing. I say left, they go right, so I say stand, they sit down. So when I hear the glories of devotional service as given by Krishna and his representatives, and I go out there in my normal day-to-day activities, and I see the condition people are in, then for me it clicks that actually people don't know what's going on. And I get to appreciate what Prabhupada is speaking about. And I get to appreciate all these characteristics and all these things that Krishna explains about the living entity. When I see it in action, then it pushes me to educate people more about who they are and what their goal in life is. And the more I do that, the more I understand what Prabhupada is saying. But before, for example, you're mentioning how in this temple, you know, this service mood is very strong. Where I was coming from, the service mood, it wasn't so strong. So for a very long time, I felt very stale in devotional service. And I remember saying this to my spiritual master, I was reading. It was nice, but there wasn't any drive to actually go out and do anything about it. And I remember saying, you know, I feel really dry. I need something in my Krishna consciousness. And then he said, your time will come. Your time will come where you will sacrifice everything for Krishna and you'll put it into application. So I found that when I would read, if I go out of my way to try and physically or practically put it into action, I understand more what I'm doing. That it's not just like being in university where I just have to take it in, even if I don't understand or even if I don't agree. So when I do the service, I actually, not only do I understand it more, but I appreciate it more. And I want to keep on doing it. Because if we go on in devotional service mechanically, on automatic pilot, at some point we will go. Because there's no rasa. So my understanding with the vigyan, for us to realize Krishna and his blessings and his mercy, we have to take his instructions and try and see them out there in the world. Otherwise Krishna becomes, you know, an image or a nice person who said nice moral things. That's my take on it. That the more you actually perform the angas of devotional service, Krishna within the heart, he says that with the shining lamp of knowledge, he gives us insight. There's that wonderful story of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, someone, one of his disciples, he wanted to ask so many questions. And he said, no, just go and do some service. Tomorrow you come. And he came the next day, same thing, okay, just do some service with the brahmacharis. And then come the next day, I'm busy. So after a few days, this person, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj then went to see that person. And he said, so you have some questions? I can answer them, I have some time now. And that person said, actually, I don't have those questions anymore, because as I associated with your devotees and as I did service, those questions got answered. So when we put our entire being into Krishna's service, we get to realize so many things that we're reading about. It becomes real. It just doesn't become black and white, like we're reading the lines. It actually becomes real. I hope that helps. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.